What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Gravity Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris. Thank you for choosing to tune in today. Hey, folks, we're keeping this conversation going. How do we maintain perspective in a world full of noise and chaos? How do you identify your foundations and stay grounded and not get carried away with all the craziness? That's what Jamie and I are trying to do here, trying to create a place for us to come together and listen to the guests that are coming on the show. We're listening to Jamie and I on a Marriage Mondays. And I'm hoping you're finding some commonalities with the guests. Maybe not. Maybe you're like, I can't believe this person. And if that's the case, that's all right too. It's not about us agreeing on everything, but it is about listening to conversation that points us back to what our foundations are. Today's guest is active duty police officer Aaron Stites. Aaron got in the game a little bit later in life. You know, you see some police officers that get hired on as cops when they're 21, 22, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I've served with some of those folks who do remarkable work. But Aaron had a previous life, and that's what's really going to lend credit and to this conversation and give you some great takeaways. So I'm super excited to hear from Aaron. But before that, folks, I want to talk about Service Peace Warriors. Service Peace Warriors is a 501c3 nonprofit that's dedicated to our nation's heroes. That's right, the men and women that are returning with war-related, either physical or mental injuries, Service Peace Warriors has their back. They're raising all the money. They're training up both the service animal and the veteran, and they're equipping the veteran with the healing power of a service animal. But they didn't stop there, folks. They started the for-profit business Maddox Dog Training Academy, and they're using the proceeds from Maddox to further fund Service Peace Warriors and also to equip first responders with free service animals. Folks, you got them, check them out if you haven't checked them out yet. ServicePeaceWarriors.org. Folks, with that, I say we get into this interview with Aaron Stites. Aaron Stites, welcome to the Gravity Podcast.
Hey, thanks, Chris. It's great to be here.
Brother, you're in my paths have crossed over the years. Mm-hmm. Went to high school together.
Yeah.
You were a little ahead of me. I can't remember. What year did you graduate?
94.
All right.
Which one did you, what year did you graduate?
I graduated in 97. So I was a freshman. I was a baby freshman and you were king of the castle. No, I love it though. I mean, we have a lot of, with us both being born and raised here in Tri-Cities, Washington, we have a lot of common circles, I feel like. You know, my wife, I believe, sang in Mad Hatters with your wife, if mm-hmm. I remember correctly.
Yep. Right? Yep. We've got, my wife is a Maggleby, so she's part of that whole Maggleby clan that kicked around.
They were distance runners too, some of them were.
Yeah, so my wife is the oldest, so she was the sprinter and distance runner out of the family. And then I have a brother-in-law, Tyler.
I don't think I knew Tyler.
Tyler Smith. He said he's watched you. He was a little bit younger than you, so he watched you and as you went through Kennewickeye and stuff. And so a lot of cool commonalities, a lot of cool circles across. I actually did my DARE practicum in your wife's class.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Now tell me about your,
as a DARE officer.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Man, so you're just constant crossover.
Yeah. So I there's love it. Been that worlds colliding in and out over and over again, which is cool.
Well, hey, I referenced it in the intro, just the fact that you had a previous life. So I don't want you to go into like everything.
Yeah.
But if you could just introduce yourself for folks that don't know who Aaron Stites is.
Yeah. So my previous life and my continued life was started by hard things, right? So I went through some serious health issues when I was younger, and that dictated where my life went to. So started off with trying to find answers about how to be healthy. And that led me down the road to become an exercise physiologist. So I started studying all this stuff, living in Utah, sweet mountains.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yes.
Let's do something to help with my health. Because I ran in high school, but in Utah, I was like, man, these mountains are so cool. So I got into mountain biking and started racing mountain biking and progressed up to where I was racing the local pro circuits and stuff, mountain biking, cross country. Wow. So I was that guy that put the spandex on, rode to the top of the mountain, but then loved the bomb the downhill at the same time. And through the power of science and food and exercise, I realized that there's ways that we can make our bodies healthy physically, mentally. So I got into that and started coaching people, moved to the Tri-Cities. Previously, while I was living in Utah during my undergrad, I had taken the Utah State Trooper test.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I was working full-time, going to school full-time, managing a Famous Footwear, and we were just having people stealing stuff all the time. So I just started catching people. So they just bounced me around stores to increase security and catching people stealing stuff. Yeah. And in my younger day, someone stole some shoes right in front of me around the store. So I ran and tackled him in the back of this moving truck, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff happened.
Yes. And I like those days.
Yep. And state trooper said, hey, you should interview with us. So I did, but then I started getting on this performance track. Moved to the Tri-Cities, opened up a hiker coaching, started coaching high school athletes for track and field in the area, cross country, and then was coaching beginner to pro endurance athletes,
okay,
mountain bikers, triathletes, runners, and then selling bikes on the side. So that's where I realized that there's a lot of stuff that we can do to maximize our performance to reach the top and what it takes to be a top performer. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to the Olympics, but it means everybody's trying to be their best and how we help that.
Yeah.
And so, interesting enough, one day I was doing a bike fit on a woman, and a sergeant from local agency, KPD, Kennewick Police Department, came in and said, hey man, you should interview with us. You should apply. So I did, but it was just this feeling like, hey, you should do it. Yeah. So I did. Great opportunity. I was given some great opportunities, some great trainings, and then I was able to lateral over to the Walla Walla County Sheriff's Office, where I've been for the last 5 years.
I love it.
And so perspective-wise, like you said, those young guys getting into it. I met with my squad last night, and I was talking with, everyone was there, sergeants out, so I was manning the squad and talking with the guys in the squad, and I've trained all of them as an FTO. And we were talking about me coming on doing this podcast, but we were talking about dealing with stress and had a really good open conversation about things we can do. So
that's good.
One of those things then was this physical fitness aspect. How do we train like adult, train as first responders, as athletes? Because
we totally are, right?
Yeah.
Our first responders are professional athletes. When you look at the things, both our firefighters, our police officers, our paramedics, the things we ask them to do on a daily basis mm-hmm. is professional athlete level type stuff.
Yeah.
I want you to sit there and go from a seated position for the last 4 hours. I want you to jump up, run a full sprint, jump over three fences, tackle someone, physically fight them in like an MMA style fight, get them in handcuffs. And then I want you to take a breath and totally throttle it back and turn into a caregiver for this person that you just cared for, or that you just had to chase down and tackle.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we don't even ask our professional athletes to do that. They don't care for each other afterwards.
Right.
Not usually.
Right. And then you have to be a scholar.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So then you got to go write this report.
Yes.
And oftentimes the prosecuting attorneys, you have to know what you're writing, because that's what you're going to use to now take this person and protect the community further on.
Yeah.
That person. So when we talk about first responders, training a lot of professional athletes, training beginner athletes, the mindset is I will do whatever it takes to help me reach this goal.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Now I have a 1,000K coming up. I have a 5K coming up, and I've never done a 5K.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my goal. I want to get there.
Yeah, exactly. So it could be, from a sprinter standpoint, I want to run this in a 400 to the marathoner, to the triathlete that says, I'm getting ready for the Ironman. We've got an Ironman coming to the Tri-Cities,
yeah,
which is really cool. And so we've got people preparing for that. To the person that's trying to win at nationals, right? I raced a couple nationals championships for mountain bike. I was able to go to take athletes and myself. We went and did the world championship for duathlons, mm-hmm. run, bike, run in Canada.
Yeah.
And people are willing to spend so much time and so much effort.
Oh yeah, they are.
And so much money. So we look at biking, yeah, right? People are okay with dropping up to $10,000 on a bike that's going to save them 3 minutes over 25 miles.
Yeah, when I was doing the triathlon circuit here in the Tri-Cities, I was riding a Walmart special.
Yeah.
But then my police chief at Kennewick, he actually lent me his road bike for some of the, I think it was the Titanium Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was a road bike race, right? Yep. And so I didn't want to sit there and ride my Walmart special mountain bike that was like a freaking tank.
Yep.
The thing weighed so much. But yeah, I mean, I saw that, right? I saw, from wetsuits to nutrition to the bikes to shoes. It got expensive really fast.
Yeah. And people are willing to pay that.
Yeah.
Even if they're not competing in the pro level where they're winning money. Yeah. So it's really cool. When I was doing mountain biking, I won a couple races. I placed in a couple places where I actually got money. It's like, oh, look, it's an actual check.
I got a cup.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah. The glass cup, right?
I was super pumped about my glass. I got a couple actually, if I remember right.
Yeah. So we have all those glass cups
yeah.
in our house from when our family was doing the circuits. But they're looking at it, and one of the things I love that you say on your podcast is time is something that you can't make more of. It's the one commodity you can't make more of, right? Yeah. But people are willing to spend the money they work for, which is time.
Yeah, that's true.
To invest in something, this goal. And they may not be going to the world championship. They may not be winning in their age category.
Yeah.
But they're willing to put whatever's necessary to be the best version of themselves with this. So I was out mountain biking the other day, and that's my sofa.
That's your sofa. What do you mean? Help me out.
That's where I go to.
To relax.
To relax. To talk through my problems. Because that's where I do my talking. So my wife, over the years, has said if I'm in a bad spot or something like that, she's like, go ride.
Okay.
Just get out there, go ride. Because then I come back a better person.
This is good awareness. This is a little bit of marriage talk here in reference to.
Yeah.
What is it for each of us, both for the first responders out there and for your spouses? What is it that's going to help each of you process the stresses of life? And whatever that's going to be, whether it's a hobby or I guess most would fall under hobbies, hobby, exercise, whatever, you need to carve out time. You need to prioritize time to do those things.
Correct. So it's that 40,000 feet analogy, right? You're up in an airplane. You can't help other people until you help yourself. And as first responders, most often our number one goal, that's why we got into the profession, is to help other people, help the community.
Totally.
And so we sacrifice so much for us in order to help those around us. And a lot of times we do the same thing with family, but that sacrifice is like a negative feedback loop, right? When we start looking at, I'm not going to sleep as much, I'm not going to exercise as much because I need to do stuff, the gain we get is not necessarily a positive net gain. It starts spinning down. It's negative feedback. Start feeding on itself. And then are we our best versions of ourselves?
I wasn't. And I was not showing up as the dad or the husband that I wanted to be.
Yeah. And that happens to all of us. That I know for me, that's why my wife, we recognized this early. Some of my early health challenges was with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, immune deficiency syndrome. And so one of the major side effects was migraines that just went on nonstop. And I wasn't a very good person.
Yeah.
Wasn't very happy to be around. And so I found that as I started to exercise, I could quote unquote burn the gunk out if I went hard on my bike.
Okay.
Get my heart rate up, get things moving, blood moving. But the headspace I'd also be in during those times was so critical for me. I'd have conversations with myself. I'd solve problems with myself.
Yeah.
And so I'd come back and I'd be like, oh, hey, Amy, I'm sorry, I was like this, worked this out. Thanks for letting me do this. And that's a system that we've developed over our 27 years of marriage that has been something that's very, very vital for our family's positivity.
Yeah, and so, you got to find those things. Mm-hmm. You got to find those things.
At the same time, I didn't want to take time away from the family.
No, you don't. But again, it gets back to what's going to be the return on this investment, right? Mm-hmm. And if this investment of time, if this hour bike ride, hour run, maybe you like to, I don't know, go chop wood or do whatever it is that you like to do. Some people have a shop, they go out there and do woodworking. If that hour of time causes you to come back up and show up as the best version of you, show up as the father, as the husband, as the wife, as the mother, whatever, again, those roles are, it's totally worth it. I mean, think about it. If I were to offer you an investment, I'm like, hey, this is going to quadruple your money.
Right.
Guaranteed. You'd be like, yes, like, you know, let me get more money. Let me try to get $1,000, $10,000, right? If we knew that it was gonna, and that's what we know about having these healthy habits in life, is the return on investment is gonna be both physical, mental, emotional. There's even more that I know we're gonna get to here in a little bit.
Yeah, but we talk about those pillars that you've talked about previously in podcasts. So you've got physical health, you've got emotional health, you've got your social health and then even spiritual health, where are your values, where are your morals, what your beliefs are, that those pillars build that foundation, right?
100%.
And so when I was looking at this concept of first responders, I'm the defensive tactics instructor for Wallowell County Sheriff's Office as well, and also peer support, so CISM. And so I reach out whenever there's, even if it's just a quote unquote normal death investigation, I reach out for all my guys and just talk to them and stuff. That's the culture that we're trying to build.
Yes.
And what we're seeing is that people decide to self-medicate sometimes.
Yeah.
And that self-medication can be bad or it can be good. When we look at some of the bad stuff, I've talked to guys and they call me up, particularly at night when they're all alone, right? Like we sit in a car by ourselves.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's first responders, police. The time that we go out then is we meet with our partners. Maybe we decide, maybe we do lunch, but also it's just going to be on a call.
Yeah. Yeah.
We might debrief the calls, roll call. I know one of the things you really promote when you were a sergeant is that meditation time.
Yeah.
Let's take some breaths. Let's get together as a group and make sure everybody's good, right? Touch in. Those type of things I think are so critical, but we spend so much time alone just waiting, right?
Like
we're actively patrolling, we're looking for things. Medics, they're literally sitting there waiting.
They're in their house.
Yeah.
They're in their house, in their Barker loungers, in their kitchen, right?
Yeah.
Having relationship engagement time, or maybe they're going to sleep and, you know, but yeah, they don't have as much solitary time as police officers do, because just the nature of our work. And most law enforcement agencies aren't in 2-person cars, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Those that are, then you do get that kind of connection time. But for the rest of us, it's largely by yourself. And then we get together for these events that take place.
Yep. And so we're waiting for that call to come in that says, okay, now we need you to respond. Police, we need you to respond. We've got this happening. Firefighters, we're waking you up in the middle of the night. We need you to respond to this emergency. And then when we're on nights, our families are asleep.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so then if you decide to go work out in the middle of the night, nothing against people that work out at 1 o'clock in the morning. There's not a lot of first responders in gyms. Typically, sometimes after 1 o'clock, it's a unique group sometimes that are showing up in the gyms. And so what we're looking for then is, what do you do with those times?
You're talking about like on our days
like
off.
Like on our days off.
Family's sleeping, you're awake, you're trying to stay on the same sleep schedule to help your circadian rhythm. And what do you do with that time?
Yeah. And so
you watch TV and drink alcohol.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is. I've talked to my buddies and he's like, hey, my wife was a little mad at me the other day. Okay. What was going on? She woke up in the middle of the night. She came out. I was watching TV and I had like 6 beer cans next to me. So that's how I deal with things.
You're lonely.
Yeah.
You're hanging out by yourself. I remember going to night shift and I would enjoy it for a bit because like when we would first rotate at my agency, we rotated every 4 months and I liked it because like, I'm not asking anyone else, what do you want to watch?
Yeah.
Right. Like I turn on the TV and I start, you know, flicking through things. I'm like, oh, this looks kind of good. And all this, I'm very different than my wife. I love history. Right. So I mean, I've watched Lincoln, even though it's not necessarily a historic movie, but there's a lot of history in the making of that movie.
Yeah.
And I eat that up. My wife wants to see people get shot in the face. She's like, where is the action and adventure here? I'm about to fall asleep. Right.
Right.
And actually the funny thing is I can handle good rom-com, especially if it has to do with daddy and daughters. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'll watch that all night long and I'll weep at the end.
Yeah.
And my wife is falling asleep because she's like, no one's getting shot in the face currently.
Right.
And so I like night shift because it gave me that time. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed going for runs at night.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed just hitting the road and going on a 5 or 10 mile run. And it was quiet. There were no cars out there. And I would almost get that runner's high that I had in college, right? When I was in really good shape.
Yeah.
And I'd just go out there and just hit the pavement. Now that was probably more of a healthy thing and that's why I enjoyed it. But eventually depending on the season. There were times that I probably kept with that physical fitness longer. But here towards the end of my career, I wasn't doing that kind of stuff mm-hmm. late at night, right? I was sitting around drinking alcohol, eating garbage food, mm-hmm. watching TV. Yeah. That's how I was passing my time.
Yeah. And I find myself being able to justify my behaviors, right?
I have a tough job.
Yep. It's hard. I'll wake up a little bit early. I'm on nights. Okay. I'll wake up a little bit early and I'll do my workout before I go on shift.
Yeah.
So I can sit here. I can eat these cookies. I can watch this. I can do this. And then I'll wake up and it'll be fine. And so if I'm looking at my past life of where I was focused on training other people and then training myself and trying to get to my top physical capacity mentally as well. I mean, if you're performing at a high level, there's some mental pressures as well that you deal with. But the whole thing, trying to get in and saying, how do I become the best version of myself here? Life changes. Situations change. One of the things we've incorporated is working out, running, doing things as a family, making events as a family. If we're going to go work out together, right? We still have, I partnered up with a friend. He owns Phoenix Physical Therapy over here on Clearwater. We've got our little training facility downstairs. I'll ride my bike over to get my biking in, meet the family there. We'll lift together as a family because that's what my three boys that are home right now love to do. They like to lift. They don't want to run as much distance. I've got sprinters and throwers now, which is different from my older kids that are out of the house. They were all runners. So I'll ride my bike there. We'll lift and then I'll ride home.
Love it.
My wife will do the same thing. She'll run somewhere. We'll meet. Like, we went and played tennis. We're not any good at tennis. So it's just like slam ball.
It's fun.
Yeah. We just hit the ball as hard as we can. I ran there. We do tennis. Then my wife would run home.
Okay.
Then my seventh grader would run with my wife or run with me. He's being incorporated into all that stuff as well.
Yeah.
So when we look at first responders, why should we think ourselves as professional athletes, and why should we live with goals and focus? One of the things that I've started doing that's helping with the night shifts and even day shifts when I'm by myself, my wife now works for the school district. And so during the daytime when the kids are at school, if I'm off in the day and our schedule is the same as most, where you've got a long week, work Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then just off Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Next week is the Wednesday, opposite. Thursday.
Yeah.
So on those days that are off, I have the opportunity to be by myself again during the day.
Yeah, true.
So that purpose, writing out a checklist of what my goals are for that day. Then I can give myself the hour, 2 hour, whatever I want to do to watch the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not about not watching TV, right? It's just being intentional with our time and so that we have the outcomes that we want, right? Because again, these pillars that you mentioned a little bit ago, physical, emotional, intellectual, social, and spiritual, those things don't just naturally come. I think, and this is not based in science at all, I think so much of our lives, including these five pillars, are kind of like our garage.
Mm-hmm.
So think about the garage, the state of your garage. If it is, unless you are like OCD, which if you are, this is a good reason to have some OCD in you. it's probably in some degree of disarray. Like, even when I totally clean up my garage, right? I mean, I put in a weekend, right? And it looks awesome. And I do it every year or two, right?
Right.
I mean, to where it's like, yeah. In fact, I'll show you something I just built here recently. When I was sitting at home after going to the PTSD recovery center, I think I was actually struggling, and I was like, I don't have any control over anything. So I needed control. So I went out and got control over my garage. I built this huge, you know, the big black totes with the yellow lids on them.
Yeah.
I built I saw it on Pinterest or something like that. This big, huge rack that stores them in a way that it just looks so clean and so neat.
Yeah.
Now the other half of my garage still is in disarray, but, anyhow, I think that's the reality for our lives. The default is disarray.
Correct.
The default for my physical fitness, at least as an adult, is disarray, is me not working out.
Right.
I have to put in effort. I have to schedule it, whether I put it in the schedule or whether I just know in my mind, I am going for a run tomorrow, right? And like today's my off day because I went for a long run yesterday. I know tomorrow I'm going for a run.
Yep.
In my mind already. Same thing with emotional, intellectual. That's been a tough one for me. Here's the deal. Like I've come out of PTSD. I'm still healing from that. Mm-hmm. One of the big questions in my mind right now is how susceptible am I going to be for Alzheimer's and for dementia? And so I've been studying how I can keep my brain active, mm-hmm. how I can help my brain. And actually, I was listening to the Huberman Lab podcast this weekend while I was doing some yard work, and he was talking about some specific things that we can do. He wasn't talking about the PTSD factor, but just things mm-hmm. that all of us can do so that our brain stays healthier longer in life. But I guess that's my thought is the default is disarray. Mm-hmm. So we have to schedule it and be intentional with our efforts. I love what you suggested about family. So that's, I think we were out riding bikes as a family, and I had this lady scream at us, "A family that plays together stays together." And, you know, I kind of laughed at it for a second, but I was like, you know what? That's true.
Yeah.
Right. You create this relationship, and it's going to make it so that our kids, even as they leave the house and start experiencing life and have problems, mm-hmm. we're going to be that safe home base for them to return to.
Yeah, that's it exactly. So when we talk about creating that organization as opposed to the natural disorganization, disarray that comes into our lives, it starts with putting things into place, doing things with intention. And that does include recovery, right? So if we look at professional athletes, they're given a workout from a coach. A lot of times they pay for a coach. People paid for me to write up their training programs.
Yeah.
And they said, this is what you need to do today. Okay, well, they're telling me I'm being paid to do this. I'm a coach. So when we look at, I actually had this conversation with one of my new deputies last night. We were talking about dealing with calls. He had a rash of death investigations he had to do. And he was like, man, I started to think, whoa, I'm getting one every single shift. They're calling me the angel of death over here because I'm the one that's getting all these things. So we started talking about coaching. We started talking about how talking with a professional, a therapist, working with a professional, is all it is a coach.
Yes.
Right? So the difference between first responders and professional athletes in my mind is this. We're not playing for ribbons. We're not playing for medals. We're not playing for Strava segments,
yeah.
right? We're playing for lives. So when you mention that, jump out of the car, over the fence, run them down, tackle them, MMA fight, put them in cuffs. Now you're medics. If that person's injured, you've got a responsibility to take care of that person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Firefighters, they're asleep. They're watching their rom-com. All of a sudden, they're called out to a multi-car collision. Something, and they've got to be on then. And they're going into a situation that they just don't know about. And so now we're playing with lives every single day. Our lives.
Yes.
Lives of other people.
Yeah.
We put on bulletproof vests as our uniform of the day.
Yeah, instead of shoulder pads and a helmet. Yeah.
Yeah. And so why, if professional athletes or just athletes in general are willing to spend so much money, so much time buying paying for coaches, buying gear to buy time. They buy lighter shoes so they can run 10, 15 seconds per mile faster. In the long run, is that going to make a big difference in the world? Not necessarily, but to them, it is.
As a competitive athlete,
yeah.
Absolutely. Right. You're trying to shave off time. That's your goal.
Right. So they sleep. They're told you need to get X amount of sleep. They're told they need to eat this way.
Yes.
They're told they need to drink this much. I tell my guys, you're going out for a bike ride. That's going to be 3 hours. Your heart rate's going to be at 70%. It's going to be a long, slow. You're going to be at 70% of your max heart rate. I want you to get 55 to 70 grams of carbohydrates in per hour with 12 to 24 out with, it's a warm day. So let's go 18 plus ounces of fluids in per hour. They have everything set for them to say, this is what I need to do today on this bike ride.
Yeah.
How often as first responders in our life do we have the same focus with our own individual health with the goal? I wonder if sometimes we don't see the goal the same way athletes do. So yeah. Athletes have performance goals. Complete this in this amount of time. This is a job that we do, but by maintaining our health, those five pillars, by maintaining our health, the outcome is more important than anything else in the world.
Yes, it is.
Friends, family.
Yeah. Life.
Our own individual life, yeah. Right?
Not having a heart attack at 50 or not retiring at 53 and dying at 55.
So one of the reasons I reached out to you is because I'd been thinking. I went to a death investigation 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Guy had just retired from the state pen 2 years ago. Mm. He was downstairs and died watching TV, and it was the Great British Cook-Off or something like that.
Okay.
All right. He had all these awards on his walls of being correction officer of the year up at the pen and Walla Walla, all these great accolades.
Yeah.
His wife was so used to him just sitting down and watching TV and sleeping and not moving. She came down at noon, said, "Oh, he's asleep." Went upstairs, did her own thing, came back down at 5:30.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Hey, he's still sleeping. That's kind of weird." And that's when she found him.
Yeah. And no fault to her, right?
No.
Because again, as first responders, we have these routines, and when it matches, when there's not a deviation, our family members are going to assume that it's just our normal thing, right?
Yep. 2 years. You just mentioned that. 2 years after he'd retired.
I've heard that a lot. I didn't know you were going to share that story, Aaron, but I've heard that a lot is, and I don't know the statistics. I've heard that thrown around a few times, but I just don't know where the source is of that data. But yeah, I think it's true that there's a lot of first responders that die shortly after retiring because we haven't been training as professional athletes. Mm-hmm. Our organizations aren't set up that way. Mm-hmm. You know, we're starting to get there in some aspects, right? The idea of having clinicians, mental health professionals that are embedded in our departments, you know, either working full-time at some agencies, some of the larger ones, or having some contract hours. I've seen some agencies bring in organizations that are looking at the other parts of the body with you know, the physical body and so we're starting to get curious with it, but the tough thing is that that's going to be there is funding.
Correct.
Right. That's the thing that leaders are going to struggle with. Now there's enough conversation right now. I think there are some grant opportunities, but for that long-term thing of, I mean, you look at a football team, how many people are on a football team? Do you know after cuts? I don't know. I think it's in the 60s, maybe. I might be wrong, though.
Yeah.
So they have a doc. They have a physical therapist on staff.
Even in high school.
Multiple ones, actually. Not just a physical therapist. They have multiple physical therapists. Yeah, the high school. Our high school athletes have these resources. Yep. And because we recognize the potential for injury. Mm-hmm. We recognize the wear and tear on the body. And that's just athletes. Now you flip over to first responder worlds, and it's not just a wear and tear on the body, although that is the case. But we know now, because the spotlight's been put on it, the wear and tear on the mind. And then these other pillars that just play into all of it.
Right.
What do you think? I mean, like, I don't know. Like, here's my excuse. I can't afford that stuff.
Correct.
I can't afford to just have a physical therapist friend of mine, unless I'm injured and I'm going there on insurance, right? I can't afford just to have him as a guru that's going to coach me, you know, type thing. I mean, maybe I could, maybe if I wasn't drinking alcohol, right, I could have used that money for that, but I don't know. What are your thoughts in reference to how do we make this affordable, or how do we start doing some of these things?
So I think we start looking at, the pillars. So we'll just start with physical first, right?
I like that. Yeah, let's work through these.
Let's start looking at the physical first. So some of the challenges that we deal with as first responders, the number one thing is going to be fatigue.
Oh, yeah.
Bouncing back from
days
shift to shift.
To night.
Switching.
Court today.
Yep. You're on nights and you have a deployment training that you have to go to. It's in the daytime. So half the agency is going to get off Monday morning. They're going to try to figure out how they're going to get to work Tuesday morning at 8 a.m.
they're going to stay up.
Yeah.
Is what they're going to do. They're going to stay up and try to go to bed.
Yeah.
With their family.
Yeah. So they're going to try to do something, but then come Wednesday night, they got to be back on nights because they work Wednesday, Thursday. It's a very complicated, it's a very complicated question that departments and admins and have to deal with. But if we're looking from a performance standpoint, that's one of the major barriers. Because if you look at research studies, the CDC just came out, they've posted on their own very website that says 17 hours, being awake for 17 hours can be the equivalent of a 0.05 BAC.
Yeah, and I thought that 24 hours got to a 0.08.
A 0.10.
Okay.
After 24 hours is what the latest research is showing. That's significant.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And I know for myself, I've been on shifts that crazy stuff kicks off at the end of the shift, and it was like 21 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're running on adrenaline and cortisol at that point.
And once in a while, you're going to do that. Those are lightning strike type of stuff.
And as the human, what I know of the human body, we have the capability of doing it once in a while, right?
Yeah. You've got guys that do 24-hour mountain bike races, 24-hour running races to press the limits. Hence, first responders, professional athletes.
Yes.
So if we know that fatigue is that big thing, how do we then focus on making that sleep that priority, that 7 to 9 hours? Now, getting 7 to 9 hours in a 24-hour period is what is recommended. Ideally, we'd get it all in one clump. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes we have to balance and say, okay, I can get 5 hours sleep here because I've got to go do this. Then I'll get another couple hours sleep. I know a lot of guys that will come off morning shift. They'll sleep for a few hours, see their family, go back and take a nap from 2 to 4, 2 to 5, depending on it, before they start their 6 or 6:30 shift, right? Trying to break things up. At the end of the day, you've got to put the priority on that sleep and the consistent schedule.
Yeah, it's critical.
And it has to be there. A lot of times we say as first responders, well, I really need to spend time with my family because it's so important. And that is 100% true.
Yeah.
And guys that are getting into the profession, I started older, so my kids are already older. But guys that have little babies, small kids that sleep through all the night, you miss half that day.
Yeah.
I can't tell people what to do to make that work for their families. I just know that if we're looking at the physiological effects of fatigue, if we're looking at the emotional effects of fatigue, where our minds and stuff are at, it's worth that investment of being consistent.
I think this is where we have to prioritize stuff. What I did was, and I didn't always do it well, so what I did at different seasons when I was doing it well, I think that's the better way of me saying this.
I like that.
Got the blackout blinds, right? Dropped the temperature in the house. I think it gets down to 64 at night, whether it's winter or whether it's summertime. Mm-hmm. It's pretty consistent. Take a hot bath just before getting into bed. No cell phones. I'm in a book. I have a red light, so the room is dark at this point with a red light that's illuminating the book. And then I've said no to a lot of things. Friends that ask me to pick them up from the airport, I'm like, no. Well, why not? Because I'm in bed at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. When I'm on day shift hours. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that we want to do as parents.
Right.
Right. That we want to go, we want our kids in these different sporting events. We want to show up at all the events. And again, you can do anything for a day.
Correct.
You can come home and not go to bed and go to the kids' soccer game. Love it. You can come home and not go to bed and go to breakfast with the big family. Right. Mm-hmm. Love it. Do it. That can't be our norm.
Correct.
That can't be our all the time. We have to say no to things. It's almost like, again, think about professional athletes. What are they doing in like July and August? They're doing somewhere in there, they're doing training camp, right? It's part of the gig.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to get into, from individuals, I think there's an individual responsibility and organizational. From individuals, I think we got to double down on getting great sleep. Organizations, man, look into quiet rooms.
Yes.
Look into sleep rooms. Chief Marsha Harden down in Albany, Oregon, she's doing them down there. I know there's a number of other agencies. I think Bellevue Police Department's been doing them for like the last couple decades. Mm-hmm. So before sleep rooms were a thing, they had sleep rooms to where officers can do exactly what you recommend. They check in with their sarge. Hey, boss, I'm not doing good today. I had court. I had whatever. Can I go grab an hour? Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Turn your radio off. I'll come get you if we need you. Right.
Yeah. And our organization as a county, we've got our office in Walla Walla, but then we have firehouses that we can go to. We've got one station out in Burbank, and we've got deputies that are trying to create a comforting environment for our breaks. Right.
What do you mean? Say that again.
Create a comforting environment. So we've got a little tiny room.
Okay.
Super small.
Yeah.
But one deputy is like, hey, let's bring a couch in here.
Okay.
So I brought a couch in there because I think there's value in just what you said. There's going to be times where we're going to have days where we've done things, court trainings, different things.
Kids soccer game.
Yeah. Where be a good patrol partner. And at 3 o'clock in the morning or midnight, I would rather somebody come in and just sit and meditate during their lunchtime.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, totally.
We're given 15 minute breaks. We're given half hour, 45 minutes, hour lunches, depending on your organization.
Yeah.
I'd rather they do that than like, okay, I got to stay awake. I'm going to pound 3 energy drinks. Again, we're looking at performance.
Yeah.
How many professional athletes from an endurance, from a getting to that top peak are saying, well, I got to go to practice today, so I'm going to stay up all night and then I'm going to go and try to perform my very best.
There's a couple that do it, but those are the ones we end up seeing on, you know, the front pages of the newspaper.
Yeah.
You know, tabloid magazines.
Right. But we look at longevity, the ones that make it a long ways.
They don't do that stuff.
They don't do that stuff.
They take it seriously. They're a professional athlete, right?
That's their job.
Yes.
Our job is doing those things for the benefit of us having longevity. When you looked at those 22-year-olds that are coming in, where you're like, man, these guys are the same age as my kids.
Yeah.
And they're just getting into this.
That's when I start feeling old.
Yeah. But creating that environment where they're starting to understand that this has to be something you go for a long time with. So we go through that fatigue. We look at, do whatever it takes to get that sleep.
Yeah.
Talk to your family. Blackout curtains. Don't watch TV. Don't look at your phone in that room. That's an electronics-free area where you can just focus on your sleep.
Yes.
I use those insulation pieces, the thick foam insulation on my windows for sound.
Oh, this is good. This is Finley level.
Yeah.
If you live in Finley, there's no insult intended, but I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah. I went there, put that stuff in there, and I've got the blackout stuff over the top
Keeps
of that.
Keeps your room cooler during the summer, right?
Yep. And then sound. For some reason, when I'm on nights, people mow their lawn at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Why would they do that? Those dirty animals.
I know. And then if I try mowing my lawn at 2 o'clock in the morning, they get
complain.
Mad. So you've got to make those steps and do whatever it takes. Keep it cool. Have a good system with your family.
Yeah.
So that when you do wake up, the kids are excited.
Yeah.
Mom, dad, uncle, aunts, everyone's excited to have you, and then have very specific and intentional time with them, right?
Yes.
So first and foremost, when we look at performance, recovery and sleep. Every day we come off a shift, we've got to have that recovery period. Just like if you do a big, heavy workout, you've got to have recovery.
Yeah.
Then we look at the physical aspect. What can we do to prepare our bodies for the game every single shift, whether for any first responder, where the game could be anything from finding a lost dog, finding a child, to the MMA fight, to a gun fight,
right?
Where you've got to be, you're fighting for your life, you're fighting for someone else's life, and now you're doing first aid.
Yeah.
Or you're actually hit yourself.
Yeah.
We need to make sure we're keeping our bodies in that prime condition. So our agency is super great with every year we get a fitness incentive.
Okay.
So if we go run a mile and a half, do your push-ups and sit-ups based on your age, you get a 1% increase.
Love it.
It's a little bonus just to go do that. And so our admin is awesome. They'll come out, our chief, he'll run it with people. He'll do it with people.
I like that.
And then our sheriff and our undersheriff are there recording. And it's this unity time where they're just saying, this is so important for us. And our commissioners, they give us the money for it.
As they have to sign off on it.
We're going to give you guys additional money for you to stay healthy.
Yeah, I like that.
And we understand that the 45, 50-year-olds are potentially not going to be as good as they were when they're 22.
Yeah. You don't have to be as good.
Yeah.
Right? I don't need professional athletes that are 41 to be like they were when they were 24, because they have a stronger mind a lot of times, right?
Correct.
That's what they bring to the table.
Yep. And so that fitness incentive gives purpose. And I've, in our agency, people are already looking at it. Again, we were talking to squad last night, and we were talking about physical fitness, and they said, I want to suffer less on that fitness incentive test next year.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to be healthy. So now there's this purpose for the training. Now there's this purpose. Me being a little bit older and going out and running with the younger guys, we're all A-type personalities typically and first responders.
This is just going to be a friendly run, guys. Yes. About 2 minutes later, it's a foot race.
It is. But they're seeing the older guy that's running. And if I can maintain my health, it's motivation for the younger guys to say, I want to beat the old guy.
Oh, completely. Yeah. They don't want to get beat by someone who's twice their age.
And so it's a great motivation. So we're progressing together through this. We're all, my motivation is I want to stay as healthy as possible for my crew, because if I can't get up off the ground, I can't help anybody else.
Wow, folks, we had to cut that short. Aaron and I were going in this interview, and when I'm interviewing someone, sometimes I can feel the steam kind of running out of the story. I kind of feel like we're at that natural break point. And with Aaron, I just knew we weren't there. In fact, I kind of sensed it going into the interview that we might get into a lot of different topics. And so I prepped him, just telling him I may let this go longer and we may have to cut it into two episodes. So that's what we're going to do here today. We're cutting off for the day, but I hope you tune in next Wednesday for the second half of my interview with Aaron Stites. Hey folks, Jamie and I want to hear from you. How are we doing here on the podcast? There's a few different ways for you to communicate back to us. First and foremost, I hope you're following us on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That will cause the next episode to come up on your dashboard. You can also rate and review us, and we appreciate ratings and reviews, folks. There's 5 stars waiting on our main page on Apple and Spotify. And if you give us a 5-star rating, it's going to increase our viewability on those platforms. However, folks, if we haven't earned your 5 stars, then keep them. Shoot me an email instead at chris@gravityct.com. Let us know how to make a better future, Marriage Monday topics, or guests for me to interview. Folks, we only get to live this life once. Let's go out and take care of the people in our tribes. Take care of each other. God bless.